may think that men and women are the same and everything's easy and it all works together, but I can assure you of this, that men and women are different. And because they are different, for 6,000 years of human history, we know this, that because men and women are different, there is bound to be conflict within the differences. How many of y'all believe that? I know we would say there's no such thing as conflict in our life, but how many of you know that is just not a reality? See, the truth is there is a difference between men and women, and because there are differences, then obviously that leads to the next step, which is conflict. There's always conflict. There's no such thing as a conflict-free marriage. There's no such thing as a conflict-free relationship with your kids. There's no such thing as a conflict-free anything, just to be real honest about it. Anytime you get two people in a room, how many of you know there's bound to be conflict at some point in time? No matter how much you love each other, no matter how much you care about each other, there's going to be conflict. And I think it's kind of funny as a pastor, obviously being able to do a lot of weddings. I've done a ton of weddings over the years. And it's very interesting to me because no matter how much you plan a wedding and no matter how much you try and lay everything out for a wedding, I promise you there's going to be something that bobbles in the middle of that. And I have had some of the greatest episodes of bobbling a wedding. I remember one time John and Kayla. Kayla's down at the other side in kids ministry. John plays the guitar on the platform. A little over 10 years ago, I did their wedding. And in the midst of their wedding, you know, John and Kayla, they're up on the platform and, you know, we're exchanging vows. Well, Kayla had long earrings in. All right? And so we're doing the vows portion, and Kayla turned her head, and when she turned her head, it caught the edge of her dress, and the earring popped off, and it went right down her shirt. All right? Or not her shirt, but her dress. And as a I for some reason, I felt the need to try and figure out where it went. I went like that. How many of you know in the middle of a wedding, the pastor looking down the shirt of the bride is not a good idea? And after I realized what I did, and it was just, you know, it was just one of those natural reactions, like, where'd it go? How many of you know that was bad? That was bad, 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 bad. I remember one time, this was actually Joel and Paulicia Vandiver. They sit right back there in the back, usually second or third service. And I remember doing their wedding. This was probably within the last maybe 2 to 3 years. Oh, I was doing their wedding. We said the vows and everything. Well, at the rehearsal, none of the flowers were on the platform. Okay, for the wedding, none of the flowers. But typically what I do is I have them pronounce them man and wife, and then before I say you may kiss the bride, I step aside. And then you can kiss the bride. Why? Because you don't want my face up in your pictures of you and them, you know, kissing. So I always back away. Well, in light of that, all right, we've got this big old towering flower pot. All right, it was a big glass vase with a big old bunch of flowers. Beautiful, beautiful. Not after I got done. Because here's what happened. I pronounced them husband and wife. And remember, at the rehearsal, it wasn't there. So I'm stepping back, just sliding back. I kicked the thing and it fell over. The flower pot, it was about this tall, dumped over. Flowers went everywhere. So here I am. They're about to have their moment. And I'm over here. I pick up the vase. I'm grabbing flowers off the floor, going plum, 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 plum. Which apparently was even funnier than the fact that I knocked it over. I'm trying to fix the, and I am not a florist. No, there ain't no florist in me, all right? Absolutely hilarious, you know? I mean, I've seen it all. I did a wedding out at Missinewall, and the bride and the groom, they wrote their own vows. They wanted to exchange vows that I led them through, and then they wanted to write their own vows, which was great. So they wrote their own vows. We get out there, and the young lady, she pulled out her vows from the top of her dress. She pulls it out, and she wrote it in black ink. It was the middle of July. Yeah, so when she opened it up, guess what? It was smeared. You couldn't read one word of that thing, man. And then the dude, he's like, so she starts crying. I mean, to her, this is a catastrophe, you know? And I'm like, well, y'all gonna get married either way. I mean, what do you do about that? He pulls his out of his pocket, and he had been sweating, so guess what? Yeah, and they worked hard on him. So they did their best to try and communicate what they felt, but I'm sure it went better that night. But you get what I'm saying. It's pretty amazing some of the things you run into, because the reality is there's no perfect wedding, no perfect wedding. And I honestly thought this was unique to me, but it's really not. So check this out. I got something I want to show you whenever it comes to this. Check this. I don't know why she's doing this. Oh, jeez. Oh, jeez, one. Pop. That girl got popped. Woo. Bit the dust. Whoop. Boom. Look at that. Guess who caught the bouquet? Watch this. Not good. Watch this. Check that out. When I seen that, I thought she should be holding them up. Did you see her arms? My goodness, she should be carrying those dudes. No, the truth of the matter is there's no perfect wedding, man. No perfect wedding. And let me just say this. Every wedding, every marriage, every relationship, every home, every father, son, daughter, mother, all those relationships are going to have bobbles. They're going to have problems. They're going to have conflict. But the question is, and the question I would like to ask you today, are you fighting in your relationships or are you fighting for your relationships? You know, the truth of the matter is you can fight in and you can fight for. And I would encourage you to fight for your relationship. In other words, anytime you go into this thing called marriage or living with a family or everyone has a family, in the midst of that, understand that our purpose is to fight for, not against, our relationships and our families. Because we want to see at the end of this thing, if we do have conflict, if we do have problems, if we do have trouble, we want to know at the end of this thing, we work this thing out and we're better off at the end than we were before we went into it. Amen? That's what I want to do. I don't want to go to war with my wife and then at the end us be in worse place. I want to move forward in our relationship. Amen? And you say, well, Pastor Charlie, everyone knows this. No, they don't. No, they don't. Not everybody knows that if you get married, you're going to have conflict. Say, how do I know? I meet with couples. It's amazing. I'll ask them, what does she do? This is the test. This is the test. This is the test that tells me if you're ready to get married. You love her? Yep. I love her, Pastor Charlie. I mean, you do anything for her? Yep. You die for her? Oh, yeah. Yep. What does she do that annoys you? Nothing. Come back in 6 months, because you obviously have not understood the process here. Same way with the women. Oh, I love him. I know a couple is ready when they say, well, he does this, and he does that, and he does a little bit of this, and this really annoys me. When he does that, I want to choke him. I want to pop his head. Then I'm like, all right, you're ready for marriage. You're good to go. See, the truth of it is, you're gonna have problems. But like I said before, and I'll say it again, will you fight for or will you fight in your marriage? Will you fight for or will you fight in your relationships? Have you ever thought of this? Why do people fight? You ever thought about that? Why do you fight? Why do you have conflict? Well, I'm gonna give you some of those things today, and then I'm gonna show you how to remedy those. All right, so number one, if you're taking notes, write this down. Why do people fight? Number one, we put unrealistic expectations on people. Unrealistic expectation. Take two people, young people, 20, 25 years old, getting married, and they're like, man, why are you getting married? Well, see, Pastor Charlie, she loves me. Okay, what's that mean to you? That means I'm marrying a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week love machine. That's what I'm marrying, Pastor Charlie. Brother, you are lost. You are lost. You are not marrying a 24-hour love machine. That is not how she is made, praise God. She's not. You talk to a lady, young lady, it's like, why are you marrying him? Why do you want to marry him? Why do you want to be with him? Why do you want to build a home with him? Well, I'll tell you why, Pastor Charlie. Well, see, he's so nice. He understands all my feelings, all my emotions. I feel like I can tell him anything, and he's right there with me the whole time. Wow, he's got you snowed. Because the truth of the matter is, get this, no man understands a woman all the time, and no woman understands a man all the time. We have, amen, praise God, yeah. Unrealistic expectations. Nothing will cause more conflict in your marriage than having unrealistic expectation. One of those is, I married you to make me happy. I want to get married, Pastor. Why? Well, so they make me happy. Oh, let me assure you of this. Let me assure you of this. You ready? I hope you're taking notes. The greatest gift that your spouse has is the ability to tick you off. How many of you would agree? The dudes can't raise their hand, but how many of you women know what I'm talking about today? Absolutely. Hey, listen, I know some of you talk to me and meet with me and say hi to me, and Pastor Charlie's a great guy and all that, but I assure you, if you put you and me in a canoe for about a week, you'd be ready to choke me. Because I can get on your nerves. I don't ever stop talking. I talk in my sleep. I talk when I'm awake. I'm outgoing, loud, obnoxious. And to some of you are like, oh, it'd be great for a day. After that, it wears on you. Here's my point. Here's my point. Every personality has pollutants. The very thing that makes you strong will also make you weak. The very thing that makes you lovable will almost make you to where I wish I could pop your head off type feel. Come on, anybody know what I'm talking about? Y'all don't know what that means? Y'all don't talk like that? Well, good. Praise God. I'm glad you're so spiritual. But listen, the reality is, though, we all have conflict. But when we put unrealistic expectations on each other, it's always going to end up being this, an unmet expectation. Well, the reason I'm miserable is because I married you. Your daddy told me not to marry you. Unrealistic expectation. Not even close to fair in a relationship. Let me give you the second one. We choose to see others' imperfections. Yeah, absolutely. We see others' imperfections instead of their perfections. We oftentimes will take someone we love in our home, whether it be our children, whether it be our spouse, and we'll compare their area, which they're a two in, and compare it to someone else's 10 in. For example, I was thinking about this, and again, I grew up with Motown. Sorry, but I grew up with Motown, all right? But how many of you ever heard some of you, the more seasoned crowd will know this song. If you want to be happy for the rest of your life, never make a pretty woman your wife. So from my personal point of view, get an ugly girl to marry you. I'm offended. Back then, it didn't offend everybody, all right? It didn't. We live in an offended world all the time, but back then it was a cool song, all right? If you want to be happy, get an ugly woman to marry you. That's what the principle of the song is. And right in the middle of the song, listen to this. He says, hey man, some of you will know this. Hey man, I saw your wife the other day. He goes, yeah. He goes, yeah man, she is ugly. That's what it says. And the guy goes, in response, he goes, yeah, but she sure can cook. See, the truth is, if you got an ugly woman, but she can cook, praise her for the cooking, praise God. Some of you are working it out with me. It's all right. It's all right. You ain't got to go along all the time. But listen, here's the truth, though. The truth of the matter is it is completely unfair when you take an area that your spouse may be weak in and you compare her to someone else. And men the same, and women the same way. Maybe your husband is great at mowing the yard. He mows the yard line straight. You got the best looking grass on the block. But yet, when he hangs Christmas lights, it looks horrible. Don't focus on the Christmas lights. Focus on the yard looks great, baby. Right. Yeah, but what do you think about the Christmas lights? The yard looks awesome. The yard looks awesome. See, focus in on their perfections, not their imperfections. I remember talking to a gentleman that I worked with at one time. And after 20-something years of marriage, he decided to leave his wife and get a divorce. He was married over 20 years, had 3 kids. And I asked him, I said, why are you leaving your wife? He said, this is a true story. I'm not making this up. After 20 years, I've asked her to have a Pepsi ready for me when I get out of the shower in the morning and sitting out on my end table right there by my chair. For 20 years, I've asked for that. And she has not once did that. I got me a girlfriend. Guess what? She sets a Pepsi right there at the corner of the end table. I said, you're leaving your wife over a Pepsi? Pepsi? Yeah. You say, well, that's crazy. People do it all the time. They will take someone who they've been married to for a long time, and maybe they're not 100. No one is, but they'll take the 20% that their spouse doesn't meet their needs in, and they will throw away the other 80%. And what I'm trying to tell you today is concentrate on the 80. Concentrate on the 80. Brag about each other on the 80. Talk about the 80, because I tell you, no one will meet every need in your life. It's impossible. You have to choose to see the perfections, not the imperfections in your spouse. Do y'all believe that today? I believe that with all my heart. Number 3, you ready if you're taking notes? We make people our enemy. Well, you know how she is. Mean old nasty lady. We make people the enemy. No. Let me assure you of this. Your spouse is not your enemy. I'm gonna say that again. Your spouse. Maybe we should all say it together. You ready? Here we go. My spouse is not my enemy. You remember last several weeks? Men are friends, not food. Right? Hey, listen, the truth of the matter is enemy. Who is the enemy? Let me tell you who the enemy. It's Satan, Lucifer, who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus came that you might have life and have it abundantly. Jesus Christ wants your relationships to be like God's relationship with him and his relationship with you. His relationship with you. And to know this, you have to know who the enemy is. The enemy is Satan, Lucifer. Say, what do we do about it, Pastor Charlie? Ephesians 6:12 says, for we do not wrestle against what? Flesh and blood. But against what? But against principalities, powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. We do those things. We have to recognize our spouse are not our enemy. Our children, they are not our enemy. No matter who you're dealing with, know this, that Satan and Lucifer is the enemy. They are not the enemy. Amen? And listen, that should change your perspective. Because maybe you got an in-law or an outlaw, whatever you call them. And you think, oh, she's just the devil. If she goes to heaven, I'm going to hell, praise God. It'd be better off, praise God. Listen, I'm telling you right now, people are not your enemy. The enemy is the enemy. Amen? Amen. Listen, number 4, why people fight, why people fuss. We focus on our rights versus our responsibilities. So oftentimes people focus on what they have a right to. I have a right. We live in a culture that's stupid sick with this idea. Stupid sick with it. I have a right to this and I have a right to that. Don't get me started. Don't poke it. Listen, there are some things you should claim your responsibilities before you claim your rights. Your responsibilities. See, as a husband, you might say, well, she did this and she did this and I have a right to be angry. That may be true. You may have a right to be angry, but here's the reality. The reality is you having a right doesn't fix anything. What fixes something is when you say, I have a responsibility to love her in the midst of this. I have a responsibility. My responsibility is, whether it's good or bad, is to love her. That's what God's asked me to do. If we had more people focusing on their responsibilities instead of their rights, we'd get a lot further along in this life. Because we're to focus on our responsibilities. Now, let me show you how this works in a relationship. For example, a married couple, or maybe someone becoming married or wanting to be married. Here's how it would work. The world has a way of thinking, and here's the way it goes. Find the right person. That's my right. Fall in love. That's my right. Fix all my hopes and dreams on them. And then if failure occurs, repeat steps 1, 2, and 3. That's how they think. It's like find the right person. Oh, okay, fall in love. Oh, we fell out of love, Pastor Charlie. How'd you fall in love? Well, we started loving each other. Now we fell out of love. Yeah, uh-huh. We put all of our hopes and dreams on them, and we had unrealistic expectations, so now we're mad, we're frustrated. You know what, Pastor Charlie? I married the wrong person. I'm going to start over again. I'm going to go find the right person. Here's the truth. The truth is you're not going to find the right person because there isn't a perfect person. There isn't. The truth of the matter is, this is what your responsibilities are. This is the way God sees it. Number one, become the right person. Become the right person. When your spouse makes you angry, you might have a right to break the furniture. But you have a responsibility of buying new one. Here's the truth. You have a right. You meet the right, become the right person. When your spouse irritates you, angers you, you get upset. Here's the deal. Jesus, help me be the right person in this. Help me be the right man of God. Help me be the right woman of God. Help me be the right parent. Help me be. See, one focuses on your rights, one focuses on your responsibilities. Lord, let me grow to be the right person that you have called me to be. Here's another one. Walk in love. I'm going to walk in love, Lord. I want to walk in love with people. I want to walk in love. That's a responsibility. That's not a right. That's a responsibility. I have a responsibility to walk in love, even in the midst of when people may not like you or fuss with you or you may not get along at your home. Listen, you have the responsibility of walking in love with the people you live with. Hey, and how about this? Fix all your hopes and dreams, not on people, because they will disappoint. They will never meet your expectations completely. So what do? You fix your hopes and dreams on God. You fix your hopes and dreams on Him. When you do that, guess what? He will never disappoint. He will never let you fall. He will always keep you strong. He will always keep you moving forward. So now we look at it in the process. If failure occurs, we repeat 1, 2, and 3. This is our responsibility. What? To become the right person, to walk in love, and to fix our dreams on God. When we do that, I promise you, you're going to grow through your relationships, and you're going to have healthier and happier homes. How many of you believe that? I believe that with all of my heart, with all my heart. So here's what we need to do. You ready? If you're taking notes, write this down. We need to stop in our relationships. We need to stop yelling. Stop yelling. If you're in a home where you're constantly yelling at each other, let me explain something to you. That is a control mechanism. You're trying to control someone else. When you raise your voice at somebody, you're trying to control them. That's what the intent is. The intent is. You don't see a cop pull over somebody and go, "Hello, would y'all please step out of the car?" They yell. Why? They're trying to take control over the situation. And is that legit? Absolutely. Absolutely. Here's what oftentimes happens in a marriage. It's like playing war. Anybody ever played cards and played war as kids? Yeah? You have the what beats the two card? The three card. What beats the three card? The four card. And just imagine these numbers as elevated voices. You came in at a two. I'm a up you one. Four. And then, lo and behold, someone goes from 0 to 60. Oh, yeah, here's a jack. And then eventually everybody ends up at the aces. And they're yelling at each other. Right? How many of you know you're not working anything out when you start yelling at each other? It's just impossible. Here's number two. You reacting, constantly reacting to people. Well, I just can't believe. You know? Listen, if you're constantly reacting, you're moving your relationship in the wrong direction. Constantly competing with each other? Yeah, it's not gonna work. How about this? A me versus a we mentality. In other words, you're worried about me more than we. I've told my son and my daughter this both. Don't get married until you're ready to die to me. Because let me assure you of this. If you're going to be married, if you're gonna have a successful relationship, somebody's gotta die. Is this news to y'all? Are you just so dead you don't even respond? You got to die. It's amazing to me whenever I meet with couples, meet with people for premarriage counseling, they're like, well, Pastor, I'm getting married so that all my needs are met. No, you're getting married to die. You're getting married to die. Why? You ain't going to have it your way all the time. I talked to Michael. I told Michael, this is back a while back. And he's like, man, I don't want no girlfriend. I'm like, why? He goes, I ain't spending no money on that stuff. I'm like, Mike, you don't need a girlfriend. Because until you can die to some of that stuff, you don't need no girlfriend. Come on, anybody know what I'm saying? Yeah, yeah. It's funny how it works in life. Yeah. The more you die, the less you're offended. Right. See, it's hard to offend a dead man. Amen? Just imagine if the husband and wife died for each other. I refuse to take offense. Why? I'm dead. Now, I can look by some of you men, you're like, yeah, I've been living that, Pastor, but nobody put it like that. No, here's the truth. We all have to die for our relationships to move forward. We all have to. We all have to. There are things that whenever I got married, I thought I was going to be able to do, and I found out I couldn't do no more. You know, there were certain things, certain people, certain places I just couldn't do. Why? I had to die to those things. And I had to die in a good way. I had to die to those because they weren't proper or fit for the marriage. They weren't proper or fit. Why? Because I have to have a we mentality instead of a me mentality. Come on, anybody know what I'm saying? See, back whenever I first went in the military, it was nothing for us to go out. We got paid on a Thursday. We'd be broke by Sunday. I was living, baby. I was living. And you'd go 2 weeks, eat at the chow hall every day, hang out with your buddies who did have a little bit of money until payday ran around again. And guess what? Didn't you go out, blow all your money? Come on, anybody know what I'm saying? How many of you know when I got married, suddenly, that had to change. I couldn't live for me anymore. I had to live for we. I had to live for we. I tried one time to go buy a 55 Chevy. I told Michelle, as long as we don't eat all month, I can afford that thing. Still mad I didn't get that car. But anyway, the truth of the matter is you got to die to that stuff. Come on, amen, if you're going to have great relationships. Right? Right? All right, here we go. All right, so what do we need to do? Here's what we need to do. You ready? Make love. Make love. Come on, everybody say love. Love, love. I'm going to use the word love, L-U-V-E, and explain to you what I believe we need to do in our relationships so they can be all that they can be. Some of the dudes in this place didn't even wake up until I just said that. They were like, love, love, I heard it, yeah. Here it is, number one, if you're taking notes, write this down. You need to listen. You need to listen. Everybody say, listen, listen. Listen, Linda, 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 listen. Listen, listen, Linda. Linda, honey, honey. Some of you don't know what I'm talking about. You need to go watch that little video. It is absolutely awesome. This little kid telling his mom he wanted a cupcake and he was bound to get it. And he was going to explain to his mama that he wanted that cupcake. Listen, listen, Linda. And she's like, I'm going to give you pow pow on your bottom. No, honey, honey, listen, listen. And honey, it is awesome. I absolutely love it. But here's what I want to say about this whole idea of listening. Let me ask you a question. Do you listen with your ears or do you listen with your heart? That's what I want to ask you today. Do you listen with your ears or do you listen with your heart? Jesus would say this, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit of the Lord says. Jesus would say this, people hear, but they don't hear. See, the truth of the matter is you can hear without hearing. God wants you to hear with hearing. I'll give you a verse for it so you can see what I'm saying exactly. Proverbs 22:17 says this, incline your ear and hear the words of the wise. Listen to it. And apply your what? Heart to my knowledge. Apply your what? Heart. Everybody say, I hear. With my heart. When you get into conflict, immediately your minds go into action. And oftentimes we end up in head-to-head conflict, head-to-head arguments, head-to-head. What I'm asking for you to do is that in the midst of a conflict, what you need to do is stop and listen with your heart. Listen with your heart. It is very difficult. I'm not going to stand here and say it's easy. But what I will tell you is this. Oftentimes in marriage, oftentimes in life, our differences are head differences, not heart differences. Especially in marriage. We have head differences, but not heart differences. And what I'm asking for you to do is concentrate on the heart communication instead of the head. The head will catch up eventually, but the heart is what you're after. Because I believe if two people can hear each other's heart, conversations go a lot further. Have you ever heard anybody say this? Let's have a heart to heart. What that means is I may not say everything perfect. I may not communicate it the best way I can, but if you'll hear this, we can make progress on this. And I'm telling you, that's the way you want to communicate. That's what makes an effective marriage. That's what makes effective communication. You need to listen with your heart and not your head. Number two here, if you're taking notes, write this down. You need to understand with your heart. Understand with your heart. Proverbs 4:7 says this, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And all you're getting, get what? Understanding. Here's the deal. I want to listen with my heart, and then I want my heart to try and understand the other person's heart. I want to see where they're coming from. I want to hear their heart. I want to hear their heart. I don't want to just listen to their words, because you and I both know that sometimes in communicating with words, you lose it. You miss it. You miss what someone's trying to say. A lot of times whenever I'm communicating with someone, or even Michelle or anybody for that matter, I'll say, okay, I hear what you're saying, but tell me what your heart's saying. Tell me what you feel in your heart. And a lot of times it's amazing because people go, well, here's how I feel in my heart. And they will, what you'll find is that sometimes they're in conflict even within themselves. Their mind will tell them one thing, but their heart's telling them something different. And what they'll find out is if they'll obey their heart more than their head, they'll make it further down the road in their communication. Follow your heart. The Bible tells us that God leads us in our heart. Come on, y'all hear what I'm saying? Your heart. Your heart. Whenever you're communicating, and maybe you've just had a tense moment with your spouse or whatever, and you feel like your feelings are getting hurt, what I want you to do is stop and go, okay, what does my heart feel? What does my heart feel? I'm going to listen with my ears, and I'm going to understand with my heart. Now, check this out. Third thing, if you're taking notes, write this down. I'm going to validate by, here's the deal, demonstrate and support truth or value. Here's what I'm talking about in that. That's what that word means, to validate. What I'm saying is this, it's where you value someone. It's where you value. Most people, when they get into conflict, they don't listen with their heart, they listen with their ears. And because they're listening with their ears, they're contemplating on how to come back at somebody. They're trying to retaliate. Come on, anybody know what I'm saying? All right. But we're going to listen with our heart. And then we're going to seek to understand with our heart. We're going to seek to understand someone's heart and where they're at with their heart. Now watch this. And then we're going to value them. We're going to validate it. We're going to say, I hear your heart. And listen, I may not agree. I may not even see it that way. But I hear your heart. Here's what you're telling that person. I value what you feel. I can't deny your feelings, but I value. If you've ever dealt with people, and I have, dealt with people that refuse to validate somebody else's opinion or ideas, it is the most frustrating thing on the planet. Well, I just think that's stupid. Okay, well, that's your opinion. See, what you've done is just you've devalued them, and you've not validated them. So guess what they're going to do? They're going to shut their mouth and sit back. They're not going to do anything. Now we got turtle shark going on, because the turtle goes away and the shark comes out. It's like, what? You ain't gonna talk to me? Well, fine then. Let me tell you what I really think. And it's on. Come on, anybody know what I'm saying? Yeah, you need to validate how they feel. You need to say, okay, I hear you. I'm listening. I'm hearing you with my heart. And I'm trying to understand you. Okay, so you think that or that's how you see? I made you feel less than? That's what you're saying with your heart? I made you feel less than? Or I didn't value? I'm sorry. That is not my heart. I may have said that, but that's not my heart. I want you to see my heart. My heart is, I'm for you. I'm not against you. Come on, anybody hear how that goes? That's a whole lot better than, well, it ain't gonna work. You gotta get there to the heart of the matter. Here's the last thing you would do, obviously. After you validate it, here's what you wanna do. You wanna empathize with it. And what's that mean? It means to understand or share feelings of another. In other words, to say, you know what? I hear you. I'm listening. My heart's tuned in. I get it. I'm not saying I agree necessarily or disagree, but I see how you could feel that way. I see how you got there. My bad. Let me ponder that and let me figure that out, and then maybe we can work together and we can find some common ground on that. Y'all hear what I'm saying? Let me tell you this. Jesus said this, a kingdom divided against itself shall not stand. And I believe that a home divided against itself shall not stand. I believe that a marriage divided against itself shall not stand. I believe that families divided against themselves shall not stand. Why? God wants to bring people together and put them on the same page so that they can do big things. You say, why is that? Let me show you a verse and then I'll be done. Check this out. This is Matthew chapter 18. It says this. Jesus said this, chapter 18, verse 19. And again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done by my Father in what? In heaven. Look at what he's saying. I say if two of you agree on earth concerning anything, then it's going to be done by my Father. Now watch this. Look at the next verse. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there where? In the midst. You know what that tells me? God loves unity. God loves for a husband and wife to get together on the same page. Not fight in their marriage, but fight for their marriage. It's a way for God to bring two people together and say, you have a different opinion, I have a different opinion, but listen, hear my heart. Listen to what I'm saying. Hear me when I say this. Value my opinion. Here's where I'm at in this. Can we work together on this? And I'm telling you right now, a home like that and communication like that will grow your marriage and grow your home faster, better, and stronger than anything you could ever imagine. Because remember what Jesus said, where two are gathered, there I am. He's saying if two can come together in agreement, my goodness, there's no limit to what God will do in your life. I know when Michelle and I were believing for a baby, Whitney, when we were believing for Whitney, I tell you, we got together, we touched and agreed and prayed and God moved. We look at all throughout our life as we've come together, touched and agreed and believed God for something, God moved. If you want God to just really move in your life, make your home a home that isn't constantly fighting, constantly turmoil, all you have to do is stop and make love. Make love. What is love? Here it is. In an essence, here's what it is. You ready? I think I got to list it. Yeah, there we go. Listen, it's listening. It's understanding, validating, and empathizing with each other. If you'll do that, I promise you, your relationship will go to the next level. Amen? Amen. Amen. Give the Lord a big clap. Praise God.